It was said of Martin Lloyd-Jones that every time he preached, he always said, "Now this is the most important thing I've ever said in my life," so that everyone would sit up and listen. Now, these two sermons today are very important, very important. And we're going to turn now to the Word of God, to 1 Kings 21, and we're going to read the whole chapter, and we're going to have a glimpse of a godless household. That's the title of the address today, A Glimpse of a Godless Household. If you want to see what a godless household is like, you look at 1 Kings chapter 21. It's a well-known story. Some of us have known it since Sunday school days. But let's read it together. If you don't have a Bible and the person next to you has a copy, then share it. And if you've neither Bible nor ability to share, then listen to me, read it, and God will bless as together we look at his holy word. 1 Kings then, and chapter 21. And it came to pass after these things that Naboth the Jezreelite had a vineyard which was in Jezreel, hard by the palace of Ahab, king of Samaria. And Ahab spake unto Naboth, saying, "Give me thy vineyard, that I may have it for a garden of herbs, because it is near unto my house, and I will give thee for it a better vineyard than it, or, if it seem good to thee, I will give thee the worth of it in money." So Ahab had plenty. That's the first point. Ahab had plenty. And Naboth said to Ahab, "The Lord forbid it me that I should give thee the inheritance of my fathers." And Ahab came into his house heavy and displeased because of the word which Naboth the Jezreelite had spoken to him. For he had said, "I will not give thee the inheritance of my fathers." And he laid him down upon his bed and turned away his face and would eat no bread. He was in the huff. That's an exact description of that verse. He was in the huff. But Jezebel his wife came to him and said unto him, "Why is thy spirit so sad that thou eatest no bread?" And he said unto her, "Because I spake unto Naboth the Jezreelite and said unto him, 'Give me thy vineyard for money, or else if it please thee, I will give thee another vineyard for it.' And he answered, 'I will not give thee my vineyard.' And Jezebel his wife said unto him, 'Dost thou now govern the kingdom of Israel? Arise and eat bread and let thine heart be merry. I will give thee the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite.' So she wrote letters in Ahab's name and sealed them with his seal and sent the letters unto the elders and to the nobles that were in his city dwelling with Naboth. And she wrote in the letters saying, 'Proclaim a fast and set Naboth on high among the people and set two men, sons of Belial, before him to bear witness against him, saying, Thou didst blaspheme God and the king. And then carry him out and stone him that he may die.' And the men of his city, even the elders and the nobles who were the inhabitants in his city, did as Jezebel had sent unto them, and as it was written in the letters which she had sent to them. They proclaimed a fast and set Naboth on high among the people. And there came in two men, children of Belial, and sat before him. And the men of Belial witnessed against him, even against Naboth, in the presence of the people, saying, 'Naboth did blaspheme God and the king.' Then they carried him forth out of the city and stoned him with stones, that he died. Then they sent to Jezebel, saying, 'Naboth is stoned and is dead.' And it came to pass, when Jezebel heard that Naboth was stoned and was dead, that Jezebel said to Ahab, 'Arise, take possession of the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite, which he refused to give thee for money, for Naboth is not alive, but dead.' And it came to pass, when Ahab heard that Naboth was dead, that Ahab rose to go down to the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite to take possession of it. And the word of the Lord came to Elijah the Tishbite, saying, 'Arise, go down to meet Ahab, king of Israel, who is in Samaria. Behold, he is in the vineyard of Naboth, whither he has gone down to possess it. And thou shalt speak unto him, saying, Thus saith the Lord, hast thou killed and also taken possession? And thou shalt speak unto him, saying, Thus saith the Lord, in the place where dogs licked the blood of Naboth, shall dogs lick thy blood, even thine.' And Ahab said to Elijah, Hast thou found me, O mine enemy? And he answered, I have found thee, because thou hast sold thyself to work evil in the sight of the Lord. Behold, I will bring evil upon thee, and will take away thy posterity, and will cut off from Ahab all males, and him that is shut up and left in Israel. And I will make thine house like the house of Jeroboam the son of Nebat, and like the house of Baasha the son of Ahijah, for the provocation wherewith thou hast provoked me to anger and made Israel to sin. And of Jezebel also spake the Lord, saying, the dog shall eat Jezebel by the wall of Jezreel. Him that dieth of Ahab in the city the dog shall eat, and him that dieth in the field shall the fowls of the air eat. But there was none like unto Ahab, which did sell himself to work wickedness in the sight of the Lord, whom Jezebel his wife stirred up. And he did very abominably in following idols, according to all things, as did the Amorites, whom the Lord cast out before the children of Israel. And it came to pass, when Ahab heard those words, he rent his clothes, and put sackcloth upon his flesh, and fasted, and lay in sackcloth, and went meekly about. And the word of the Lord came to Elijah the Tishbite, saying, seest thou how Ahab humbleth himself before me? Because he humbleth himself before me, I will not bring the evil in his days, but in his son's days will I bring evil upon his house. Amen. Now stop thinking about your lunch and where you're going to go this afternoon, or your holidays, or anything of extraneous nature, and just open the word of God with me at 1 Kings 21. And then we'll bow together for a moment or two in prayer. We're going to have a glimpse into a godless household. Let's bow together in prayer. Father, we have been instructed in Scripture to walk in the light. And we confess it's difficult in these days. Satan is so powerful. There is so much pressure upon the believer. So many temptations surround us to conform and to capitulate and to be like unto them. Help us as we look into this household today to see the kind of home that God wants, and by his grace to make sure that in our hearts and in our home Christ is Lord and Master. And we ask this prayer in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Throughout the book of Proverbs, there is a little Hebrew word of three letters. Tob. Doesn't take long to say it. It means better. And sometimes the wise teacher uses it about a home. Better is a dinner of herbs where love is than a stalled ox and hatred therewith. Better is a dry crust with quietness than a house full of feasting and strife. Better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therewith. Very wise word, isn't it? Better. Wise for the people it was written to, but particularly wise for 1995. God is saying there's more to a household than size and substance and success. What about spirituality? God isn't saying that we should live in poverty. God isn't even asking us to live in austerity. But God is saying, is there spirituality in your household? Never mind about the size of your house and the style of your furniture and the food that you eat. What about the fear of God? What about love for each other? What about contentment with simple things? That's the kind of home God wants to see. A godly home. Now we're going to look this morning for a wee while at a godless home. And you may say, why? Isn't this one of your sermons for Sunday nights? Surely not for Sunday morning. Well, I have one for Sunday night, thank you very much. This is for this morning. And this home is so godless that God has to destroy it. Did you notice that? The story, of course, is the story of Naboth's vineyard. It's one of the horror stories of the Bible. All the elements of a horror story are here in 1 Kings 21. There's greed here. And there's envy here. And there's conspiracy here. And there's calumny here. And there's murder here. And there's theft. You couldn't get more ingredients for a horror story than in this chapter. The story of Naboth's vineyard. And the only person who comes out of it well is Naboth. He wouldn't give up what God had given him. And don't you do that either. If God gives you something precious, don't you give it up for anybody. But behind the story is a household. And it's a very dark household. And that's how I want you to look at the chapter this morning. We'll have a look at Naboth in a moment. That's the drama. But beneath the drama is a dark household. And of course it's the household of Ahab and Jezebel. And no wonder it's a dark household. For Ahab and Jezebel were married for political reasons. There was no spirituality in their marriage. Their marriage was built on sand, not on rock. No wonder the house fell, and great was the fall of it. Denounced by Elijah, demolished by Jehu. It's a godless household. And you're saying, but Mr. Cardwell, why do I want to look into a godless household? Because it's good for you. If you and I can see how terrible it is to be in a godless household, we will be resolved that our households will be godly. So come with me into this chapter. And as time permits, I'll do my best. Let's look at this godless household. The door's been opened for us. We're just invited to look in. To see what kind of house it is that God hates and God destroys. Are we ready? Then see, first of all, it's a household where there is a relationship without God's order. If you look at the story and come with me to verse 4, you'll notice that after his abortive interview with Naboth, the Bible says that Ahab came into his house heavy and displeased. Now that phrase, his house, is a nominal phrase. It wasn't his house. It belonged to somebody else. It belonged to his wife. Everybody thought it was his house. But once he got in, somebody else took over. Now you look at this chapter. And from verse 5 to verse 15, Ahab plays no part whatsoever. You notice that? His name isn't mentioned. He's nothing to do with all that goes on. Jezebel is in charge, isn't she? You'll notice that the only record we have of Jezebel in this story with regard to her husband is this. She does the commanding and he does the obeying. Some story, isn't it? Verse 7. Arise and eat bread. I will give thee the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite. Verse 15. Arise, take possession of the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite. For Naboth is not alive, but dead. Isn't that a terrible picture? Of a man who does everything his wife tells him. Now, I remember preaching on this subject years ago in Windsor. And I still remember Mr. Shields, one of our esteemed members. And I must have been slightly amusing in some of the things I said, because a big smile appeared on his face. But let's get beyond the element of the comical. There's a tragedy here. There's an order which has been totally reversed. There's a woman who's acting as a man, and there's a man who's acting as a woman. God hates that. Hates it. Hates it in the house. And hates it everywhere. Look at her. Look at her. In verse 8. She writes letters in Ahab's name. She's actually got in her hand the king's seal, the stamp of his authority. She has taken authority from the king. She has it now. And why can she use it? And everything that happens in this chapter, all the vileness and the villainy and the intrigue and the murder, they're done in Ahab's name, but they're done by his wife. And that's a very sad house. And that's why God had to pull it to pieces. Because in that house, a man abdicates his authority and hides behind his wife. And lets her do what she wants in his name. Now, it's not funny, because we are living in a society where in every realm, God's order has been reversed. And the idea of a husband and a wife and parents and children, it's now laughed at. You know that? There's a conspiracy against a God-ordered household. And people are laughing at the idea that there should be a husband, and there should be a wife, and there should be a father, and there should be a mother, and there should be children. That's nonsense. What you want now is a woman who changes partners every year, so that the kid doesn't know who his dad is. What you want now are two lesbians getting together. Or two homosexuals. You don't want a home with a father in control and a wife supporting and a family obeying. That's out of the window. That's serious stuff we're dealing with now. We mustn't be blind to this. This isn't just a laugh at hen pickery. This is reality. God hates a household where his order is reversed. And if there isn't a husband and a wife and a father and a mother and a family, it's not God's way of doing things. and it will bring this nation to nothing. Let's look at this household another time. And in this household, which is godless, you'll see it's not only a household where there's a relationship without God's order, there's a household with a desire without God's discipline. Let's look a look at Ahab now. We've had a look at his wife. And Ahab comes to Naboth the Jezreelite, and he negotiates for a vineyard. Now, my point in stopping at the end of verse 2 was to make a point, but I want to make it now again, if you're all alert enough to notice it. Ahab had plenty, and he negotiates from a position of plenty. Look at what he says. I will give thee for it a better vineyard. I've got better vineyards than this vineyard. And if it seem good to thee, I'll buy it. Now, what have we here, dear friends? What have we here? We have a man who has plenty, and he doesn't know when he's had enough. That's what we have. A man who has plenty, and he doesn't know when he's had enough. And when he doesn't get what he wants, what does he do? He goes in the huff. In Scotland, we'd call him a big wain. I heard this story of one of my grandchildren only, I think it was on Friday. He's 3, I think. Is he? Is he 3? He is 3. Thank you. Not good in my grandchildren's ages. This one's 3. And he was having a real contest with his mom. I don't know what it was about. Whether it was about watching a program or getting out to play, but his mom said, "No, you're not." So he stumped upstairs, you see. 10 minutes later, his mom went upstairs and found him in bed, with the curtains drawn, fast asleep. He's 3! 3-year-old! Look at verse 4. And he laid him down upon his bed, and he turned away his face, and he would eat no bread. This is a man. Man. Grown up. Plenty. And if he doesn't get what he wants, he goes in the huff. I'll tell you this, if his wife had been a godly woman, she'd have left him in the huff. That's the place to be if you're a huffy person. Stay in it till you come out of it. And you know, when he was hungry enough, he would have come out of it. He was too fond of his fodder to stay too long in his bed. And when the old hunger pain started gnawing at him, he'd have got up out of his bed and he'd have asked for his dinner. But his wife doesn't do that, you see. Because his wife's as greedy as he is. And she plans. And she intrigues. And she plots. Until a man who had only one vineyard has it taken from him for a man who has plenty. And a man who holds on to what God has given him is stoned to death to satisfy the greed and ambition of a huffy man who is a henpeck. I couldn't think of a worse combination, a huff and a henpeck. We'll start with the letter H. What a man. To satisfy the greed of such a man and his cruel wife. Dear friends, this morning, God expects us to know when we've had enough. and to stop stretching our boundaries as Ahab wanted to spread his. Because you see, once Ahab got it, that didn't satisfy him. Those who love silver are never satisfied with silver or plenty with increase. And may I say this to you, and I wish I had more time to say it. Oh, for godly homes in Lisburn and district where people can say, I have enough. I don't want to have any more. Godliness with contentment is great gain. Let's have another look into this godless household. And if the first look told us that in this godless household there's a relationship without God's order and there's desire without God's discipline, in this godless household there's possession without God's permission. The deed is done. We'll come to Naboth another day and do him justice as he deserves it to be done to him. But the deed is done. The lies have been told by other henpecks than Ahab. And in verse 15, Jezebel comes to her husband with a second command. Arise, take possession. Naboth is not alive, but dead. He's gone. In fact, the word possession in its noun form or verb form is used four times in this story. Jezebel uses it in verse 15. It's used of Ahab in verse 16. It's spoken by God in verse 18. And it's mentioned by Elijah in verse 19. Possession. What does it mean? Well, you don't need to be very, very learned to know what possession means. It's in your hand. You've got it. It's yours. You can use the personal pronoun of it. Mine. Once Ahab talked about this vineyard and he said, it's his. Belongs to Naboth, the Jezreelite. And he won't give it to me. It's his. Ah, but now Naboth is dead. And now Jezebel is inciting her husband. And there was no wife like Jezebel, we read in Scripture, who stirred her husband up as she did. And now Jezebel's inciting Ahab, and it's his. He can say it's mine. What was his is mine. Verse 16, you can almost see it, can't you? Just use your imagination a wee bit this morning. Think. And you can see Ahab walking into that vineyard and walking down its paths and taking big deep breaths of its scented air and putting his feet firmly upon its ground and surveying the landscape and planning what he's going to do with it. It's his! But God didn't want him to have it. God didn't want him to have it. God's permission was never asked. And God's permission was never given. Now you folk go home today and go into your garden and walk up and down. And go into your house and walk up and down. I wonder if everything you have has been given by God's permission. Did you pray about it? What did you say? Should I pray about it? Should I pray about where I want to live? Should I pray about what I want to have? Should I pray about something as simple as a dining room suite? Or a car? Why shouldn't you? Why shouldn't you? Here's another question. Are you listening? Could you pray about it? I think that one through. I'm not asking now, did you pray about it? I'm asking, could you pray about it? Are there things in your life and in your home and in mine, and we couldn't pray about them? Because we know full well before we get down on our knees, they're not of God and we shouldn't ask them. Now you say, that's awful tough. Well, you're going to get Children's Day next week. You'll get a wee rest from me. But it's true. Here's a man with the most luxurious house in the land. Perhaps he has got two palaces from my reading of this chapter. One in Jezreel and one in Samaria. And now he has even more than he ever had. But God's blessing is not on it. He's got so much without God's permission. Let's finish up. Bring some relief. Here's the door open and we've looked into this household. And it's a godless household. There's a relationship without God's order. There are desires without God's discipline. There are possessions without God's permission. And there's a future without God's blessing. Look at verse 17 onwards. Ahab comes down to the vineyard. But he doesn't get a nice conversation about developing the vineyard. He hoped that would happen. The reason why he went to the vineyard was, as aforesaid, that he might think about how he might further develop this and make it a herb garden and make it something different and beautify his own place and add to his grandeur. Ah, no, 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 no. There's no talk about development. There's talk about judgment. There's no talk about blessing. It's all about blood. Makes very, very, very macabre reading, doesn't it? Elijah comes on the scene. There's not a word of blessing. There's not a word of beautification of the vineyard. There's not a word of development. It's all about death, destruction. Ahab, says Elijah. The very place where dogs licked the blood of Naboth. Dogs will lick your blood. And as for that woman Jezebel, she'll come to a terrible end. In fact, Elijah's words were so strong, it gave Ahab a temporary fright. He went from being in the huff into getting a fright. And he wore sackcloth and he went about meekly. But there was no blessing for him. As Ahab looked forward to the future, what an awful future it was. There was nothing to look forward to. All that he had dreamed of, and all that he had hoped for, and all that he had planned for, and all that he'd huffed for, and all his wife had murdered for, it was to be taken from him. And there was nothing but the blackness of darkness forever. Nearly finished. When I get to heaven, I'll be looking around for a few people. In fact, I have a funny idea. It's going to take me quite a while in eternity to find all the people I'm interested in from Scripture. It'll be a very interesting experience. I'll not be looking around for these two because they'll never be there. Never. Neither Ahab nor Jezebel will ever be in heaven. They're in hell. And you know, dear friend, it doesn't matter how much you have. If you're going to hell, it's worth nothing. It's only a mockery. If you this morning cannot confidently look forward to God's blessing on your life in the days that lie ahead, and heaven for eternity, I don't envy you one bit, anything you may possess. But if you and I are going home this morning, and we're going to heaven, and the members of our family are going to heaven, rejoice. Doesn't matter how simple your home. It doesn't matter how simple your meal. It doesn't matter how simple your mind. If Christ is your Savior and heaven is your home, happy are you. Happy are you. God's looking for households in this church this morning where God is feared, where the members are loved, and where there's a contentment with the simple things that God has given us. May God bless His word. Father, we thank you from our hearts this morning that many of us have homes where Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior, where your word is read and your commandments are obeyed. And we thank you that this has come to us by the grace of God in our hearts and in our lives. Grant that as we leave this place today and go home, if there's anything there that displeases you, anything material, spiritual, intellectual, or verbal, that we shall do all to the glory of God, and by your grace, have homes in this age where men and women and boys and girls can come and find the Savior living and reigning there. Bless those who must go. Remain with us as we remember the Lord Jesus, we pray. And we ask these blessings in Jesus' precious name. Amen.